Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest technology spotlight on KnowledgeCast. I'm Joe Hilger, co-founder and COO of Enterprise Knowledge. And KnowledgeCast is, of course, our podcast talking about knowledge management, information management, data management, and really everything in between. This is what we do at Enterprise Knowledge. Our technology spotlights are a subset of the KnowledgeCast, and where we take a product-centric view of technologies that solve today's KM challenges. During these episodes, I try to speak with leaders of product companies to help understand how their tools solve these KM challenges and where their tools are headed, so you, our listeners, can know what the best tools in the market are and what they're doing and really where KM is headed from a technology standpoint. So today, I'm lucky to be speaking with Rick Nucci, the co-founder and CEO of Guru. Guru is the all-in-one tool that keeps your team connected and puts all the information they need in one place. That sounds like a KM product to me. Rick, welcome to the show and thank you for joining.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. One of my favorite topics to talk about. So really excited to chat with you as well.
Good. It sounds like we're aligned in how we think. That might be scary. So tell us a little bit about Guru. Give us your elevator pitch. What does it do and why should our listeners be excited about it?
The way that our customers most often describe Guru and what they're looking to achieve is to create a company source of truth for the information their employees need to do their job. And so that is the, in the words of the customer, I would say the most direct description of what we do. And in order to make that happen, we are, as we'll talk more about, I'm sure, very, very focused on the employee and ensuring that they can use Guru to quickly find what they need and make sure that it's accurate. One of the ways that we have really approached this problem really from the beginning is by Guru kind of living where you work, being built into the places where you already are, not having to always go to another place, a portal, some other location to find what you need. Guru's kind of right alongside you as you're going about your day. I would say that's been one of the biggest ways we do that. And then also, I'd say from the customer's perspective, there's just such a proliferation of sources of knowledge, sources of information. And we want to enable the employees across a company to be able to access all that information, regardless of where it might live, regardless of where it might be stored. And so that's how we deliver on the promise of creating the source of truth for our customers.
I love that. So you don't have to be the storage source for information, but you are the place that people go to find it. At EK, we talk about getting people the right information at the right time, really at the point of need, right? As you need that information. And what you're saying is Guru can be beside you and with you in that journey and then pull that information from multiple sources. Tell me a little bit more about how Guru gets this information. And also after that, how Guru is beside you and where it sits. Help our listeners understand what you mean by all that.
Yeah, totally. First on the getting the information, I mean, generally what happens at a company is there's two patterns that might exist. The first one is there is just information in other places. Slack is a really great example. Other wikis, document, cloud storage folders, where knowledge exists and for whatever reason is going to kind of stay there. And the challenge is, how do you unlock that information and make it accessible to the employee? And so that's where we kind of get that information from and make it available inside the Guru experience. The second is Guru actually has a knowledge base, full set of capabilities as well, where you can document, curate, organize, manage at scale knowledge and information. And so the other sort of half of what we see with our customers is they're going like, hey, we have this thing. We actually have to replace this knowledge base and we need to bring something else in. And usually that is centered around some combination of low adoption, which we'll get to live where you work in a second, low adoption, as well as information's gone stale. And there's not an easy way to kind of keep it up to date or keep it accurate. And so what we tend to find, especially when you're looking across a company, right? An HR team might have one point of view on what they need. A support team, a sales team, an IT organization, a product organization, they're going to have different constructs of knowledge. And some of those knowledge bases might be deeply integrated into their workflow, some might not be. And so we feel it's critical to really let a customer kind of decide how they want that all to kind of come to life. And so that's sort of the first step. You're just like, where does this stuff all come from? And then there's the, how do employees unlock and access it? And there's a number of techniques since the beginning of the company where we said, this whole thing was like really born out of a pain that myself and my co-founder lived in our last company, where employees just couldn't find what they need. And we dug in and were like, why is that? And that's this like guru alongside you point that you're asking about. Because what we found is people move fast. Speed matters for most knowledge needs. You're often replying to a customer or you're trying to help an employee solve a problem. There tends to be an urgency in this stuff. And so the faster you can help the employee find it, the better. And so that is everything from a browser extension, which was one of the first things we built at Guru, that can work in modern browsers and effectively is meant to open up and augment whatever you're working in. And so you'll see like customer support agents using this alongside Zendesk or Salesforce Service Cloud, sales reps using it alongside email or Salesforce. That's sort of one technique. And the nice thing we found about the browser extension is that it has a very consistent UX across all of these things. There's this reality that like, sometimes we'll talk to sales leaders and they'll be like, well, everyone just works in Salesforce all day. They don't. They're in Gong, they're in Outreach, they're in Salesforce. And so the idea that there's this kind of like consistent experience kind of riding alongside them as they're doing that work has tended to work really well for our customers. The other big one is building Guru into messaging applications. And Slack and Microsoft Teams have been the two we've really spent the most time on. But you can think of where people are spending a meaningful amount of their day in the browser, in messaging apps, in email. Guru needs to be there. That's sort of our general belief. And so with Slack and Microsoft Teams, that is both a source of knowledge, but to stick to your question for a second, it's also a place where knowledge gets access, leveraged, and needed. And what we tend to find happens is you'll see these channels that are Q&A and often very shoulder tap centric channels where people are going in there and they're saying, hey, how do I handle this situation or how do I do that? And you have these like subject matter experts just having to say the same thing over and over again all day long. And it's dragging down the company as a result because people are getting distracted. It takes longer to get the answers people need. And so the whole idea is by letting Guru answer right in that channel, you can take that subject matter expert out of it. And really, you're just focusing on new knowledge that might just be in someone's brain that you need to get into Guru in the first place. But all those repetitive questions are just getting discovered right by using the Guru bot that's built into Slack and built into Microsoft Teams. So those are two good examples. But I would say like those are the big surface areas where we see people working. We've really spent a lot of time building into those user interfaces.
Wow, Rick, I love that because so often when we talk to our clients, we talk about that information sprawl and trying to get a place where you can find information everywhere. But then if you've solved that problem, and that's not easy, right? The next part is, okay, well, you got to go to this screen to go get it. And what you're saying is, I'm not going to make someone go somewhere else. I'm going to meet them where they are. And the next thing a lot of my customers would say is, how are you going to integrate with my tool? And what you just said to me is, if I'm talking to someone about Guru, is I'm going to say, well, it's, do you use a browser? Yes, I do. Okay, done. Whatever tool you use, I can interact. It means they're there. So you're removing barriers for them to go use your system. Well done. That actually makes a huge difference. I like that a lot. And I bet that really helps with adoption.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, early days, we're like, oh, do we need to do these deeper native integrations? And we've done that with Slack and Teams, but like you get into the queue with IT, it just creates all this friction to your point. And I think this approach has been super well received.
Yeah. And that is a big thing. No one's going to let you plug into their CRM or some of their other systems. Well, they may, but that's much harder lift. You picked two things by picking Slack and Teams, hosted, less risky, where you can plug in, and in all likelihood, the IT department who's worried about what they have to maintain doesn't have to worry about you breaking their stuff. And then the browser plugin takes care of the rest. That matters. So for those of you listening to this podcast, this is a tool that you can likely get in through IT if you're in a business person. And for those that are on IT, this is a tool that is going to be less invasive than many, much less invasive. So they're not going to break the applications you already have or cause problems with it. And that focus on being there, but not in the way, is a great way to do things. And something that I know with my IT background, that matters. Rick, you talked about this product everywhere from HR to help desk. Who should be learning about this? What organizational roles are your buyers? Who are the ones that should say, I want this? Who should be listening to this podcast right now?
There tend to be three roles: knowledge managers, internal comms, learning and development roles within the company. And they will tend to roll up to operational leadership within a company, HR leadership, sometimes IT. Sometimes we'll see it embedded in customer support. And we find customer support tends to have this really strong knowledge management proficiency, often kind of more than other departments at a company, because they maybe they're doing KCS and customer service. They kind of live it. And so we'll see that. But I would say most often it's kind of operational leadership. These are leaders within a company, especially these days, who are going, I have to do more with less. Efficiency matters. Productivity matters. Giving employees the ability to quickly find what they need is going to level up the whole company, from like making decisions faster for projects to make sure they're finishing on time, because you're not spending weeks having to go dig up knowledge in all these random places and go talk to all these people who's an expert on what, to day-to-day interactions, responsiveness in emails, closing tickets faster to increase CSAT. One other metric I'd say is like ENPS, some sort of engagement store companies. I think a lot of companies are really thinking a lot about that right now. Like, information overload just muffles the understanding of the company broadly. If I don't know where to go to find what are the important updates, what do I need to know? I'm disconnected from the company, and that shows up in things like ENPS scores. And so that's where we'll see HR leaders, for example, leaning into this, going like, I've got a mandate to increase ENPS, and this information overload thing keeps showing up in our survey results, and we've got to like do something about that. So those are the main ones. And so the roles will tend to be the ones I mentioned. You'll tend to see them in these different buying groups across companies.
And, you know, I'm not surprised. And of course, at a macro level, a year and a half ago, we had the great resignation with everyone leaving the company, which meant knowledge walked out the door. And then after that, it seemed like the big tech companies were hiring everyone up and doubling their salaries. So you were losing people and unable to find new ones. And now those same companies are turning around, laying people off this year. So you talked about doing more with less, making sure people had the information they needed to do their job, has to be so important right now. And operations is hit by it. And then, of course, we've seen this as well, but you talked about contact center. It'd be interesting what you've seen there, Rick. For me, that's often the easiest place for organizations to talk about ROI for KM, because they can talk about call volume and call handling. It's just very easy and measurable, and the same in other places. So sometimes some of these others are harder, but I like you mentioned some metrics around HR, et cetera. So you've found a lot of good metrics that help people measure this success, and that's going to matter to our buyers. And that's wonderful. So listeners, Rick and his team are going to not only give you a product that solves your problems, they're also going to give you a number of ways to measure your success so that Guru sticks and stays. I hope that's okay. I just put more work on you.
That's completely fine. This is the benefit of having really smart customers, is they come up with a lot of these things too. It's not like we're kind of inventing them out of thin air. And, you know, you talked about the contact center and the ability to explicitly connect knowledge usage to ticket volume, and just things we've sort of figured out over the years that, yes, to your point, I think people are really looking for ways to help quantify this problem. What is like the foundational assets of every company? It's like your products you make, your customers you sell, and your institutional knowledge and expertise in your humans, right? And it's like we have these like trillion-dollar industries around products and software development tools, and we have CRM and contact center, right? And it's like the fuzziest in all of this, although I think that's changing a lot, especially with where AI is going, like the knowledge and the value of every one of your employees knowing what your company knows is obvious and undeniable. But I think you still have to find ways to connect it to your company OKRs, connect it to your goals and outcomes. And more of our customers now, when you look at those OKRs, they are rooted in these efficiency, profitability, all things that speak to taking friction away from the employee doing their job. And that, I think, really nicely helps to make the case relatively easier for bringing in technology like Guru.
This reminds me of two things. Steve Jobs once said, you want to surprise and delight your customers. And getting people the right answers quickly and consistently is a great way to surprise and delight your customers. as an employee, having that information there is super important. And then the second half to this is actually, it was an article from Harvard Business Review back in the early 90s, which dates me, but it's also a way I've kind of mapped out my career. It was called Does IT Really Matter? And what they said is, once someone buys some capability in IT, like a CRM, you have a lead for the time that you are the first to adopt it. But when everyone else buys it, you have the same thing. So the most valuable things in IT are the things that are the squishiest, grayest, and hardest to understand. So companies that do knowledge management well are going to be better than their competitors because it's hard to do, right? I think that's huge. So if Guru gets everywhere, then it's actually going to kill the knowledge management industry and I'll be bummed, but have to go do something else. But in reality, I think, I know you need that ROI measure, but to me, it's about doing something others can't do. And I think this is the stuff that others can't do well.
I love that. Resonates a ton. To your point, I think you can feel it when companies do lean into it. I've never seen a company go, oh, I regret putting a discipline around getting good at managing the collective know-how of the company and making it broadly available. They might say that it can feel hard. They might say that they need expertise and need help, but rarely do they say, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. And to your point, I think it does become a competitive advantage. It really does. I think you can correlate a company's performance to it. It might feel fuzzy in how you connect it, but when you take a step back and you look at the fundamentals of the business, I mean, they launch products faster, they onboard their employees quicker, they can make decisions faster. I mean, they're just better companies after they do it. So I think what you said resonates a ton.
Well, and Rick, I had a moment today that fits this. I'm here in Boston speaking at a conference, so I'm not at home. And I was on the phone with my cell phone provider to transfer in an account, just doing something simple. And just as it completed, it hung up. And I said, oh, that's weird. And I said, oh, they must have hung up on me. I thought we were still talking. I looked at my phone. I had no cell service. I'm in Boston. I can't go anywhere without my cell phone. I looked on my laptop. I found the local store that was four blocks away. I jogged there in a panic, met with someone there. They didn't know my situation. They didn't know what happened. And in 5 minutes, they found the answer and fixed it. And I went from an irate customer who was frankly panicked to someone that said, you're great. And you've just made my day. And that's what knowledge management does. So
yes. It's so funny because when I am talking to people outside the profession about, I'll often talk about customer service because to your point, we have all had excruciatingly frustrating customer service moments and we are compelled to tell everyone we know about how terrible it was. And then when you have that amazing one, you're like, oh my God, it feels so, it just feels so awesome how they did that for me. I can't wait to go and buy more things from them. And it's so true. But it, to your point, it's so broadly accessible to tell that story because everyone has had their stories. Everyone's had the good ones and the bad ones. So yeah.
You know, you're on because your product's a leader in the KM space. What makes your product unique from your competitors? If someone's looking at your competition, why should they pick Guru?
Yeah, I would say two reasons. First is the comprehensive all-in-one approach. I think that so many companies are contending with intranets, maybe homegrown sites, a wiki over here, messaging tools, which messaging tools are absolutely vital, but not organized, curated sources of knowledge, and are looking for this like source of truth experience. And so, like we said before, it's less that all these knowledge sources are going away, but more the employee can go to one place that is built into where they work and is broadly accessible. And I think that that all-in-one approach has really resonated with customers, probably a bit strengthened as of late through desires for companies broadly to be looking at consolidation and vendor proliferation, which has kind of happened over the last few years. And then the second one that I would say that we're kind of getting at in a few different ways, this idea of end user adoption and UX has really been an obsession of ours since we started the company. And it really was born out of Mitch and I's prior roles where like the problem was simply like just no one uses it, right? So, you know, you can have the greatest organization and search and all these things, but if people aren't actually logging in and using it, It's really all academics. We said, okay, before we even had revenue metrics at the company, we had DAO/MAU, we had this adoption metric that we like laser focused on. And we said, okay, if we can't prove, which is of your monthly active users, how many are using the product daily? And a lot of consumer apps measure this, Netflix and everybody does this. We're going to do this. And until we see customers building daily habits around Guru, like we're not going to sort of start thinking we have like product market fit. And we sort of carried that obsession forward. And I think that shows through today. I think that customers broadly truly do value all these different techniques of how we're built into the way you work, how when you come to our application, we can tell you like what matters today to the employee, what do they need to know right now. And so it was this whole idea around the end user experience is everything that matters for this product. Guru is a choice. Any product in Knowledge Management is a choice. You can just do other stuff. You can use a notebook. You can just keep bothering people in Slack, right? It's not a CRM where like the rep must put their deal in there. This is not one of those products. So we have to earn the end user's usage, right? So that was the obsession over a highly adopted, high usage intensity product. Well, it just so happens now, as we've been building more and more AI into the product, the whole thing about making AI work is actually how it learns, how it refines, how it gets input and interaction. So now this user intensity has actually gone, you know, you asked about like why we win against competitors, like the usage intensity has gone from like a thing customers value because their teams use it to the everything from the search to our recommendations to the way we generate answers to specific detailed questions just keeps getting better as people are using it. And so when you have this high usage intensity product, which when we started out, we're like, let's just be great at UX. Well, it just so happens to be the exact thing you need to really make AI systems work is a ton of input and training data from the end users. And so that now has become this loop where employees are logging in every day. It's just making the system kind of like more effective and more accurate for our customers. Of course, this is all secured for the individual customers. This is internal knowledge management. We're not training a model that every customer is like sharing. This is very much how Guru gets better for you. It's not like we go in talking to a customer and saying like, look at all our training data, right? The way it shows up is the accuracy of our search. The way it shows up is the efficacy of the recommendations or, you know, the topics we're pulling out of Slack being like, everyone keeps asking about this and you don't have any documented knowledge. You really need to do this, right? All of these like AI centric workflows keep getting better. That's how it kind of shows up that I think really moves the needle compared to other alternatives.
So I love that you said something that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, not only exposing knowledge and information to people, but you're also finding the gaps. And that's so often a problem. Oh, wow, people are talking about this and we don't have information on this. That's excellent. So some of your AI is about saying, here's the topics that we're hearing about for which we don't have information and we can't find information.
Yeah. Before we had this, our customers were manually scrolling through these Slack channels, right? Everyone has these Q&A channels, these product-specific channels, whatever. They're scrolling through them. It's highly manual work, right? And we're like, okay, we can really improve this experience. And so you basically point Guru at these busy channels and exactly, it's going to come back and it's going to say, these are the things that keep coming up over and over and over again. And you pick it. And this is where like, you got to apply generative AI in the right ways. But when you do, it is wild. Imagine all those conversations of Joe getting asked the same thing over and over again. You say, you know what? I actually want to document that as knowledge. And you say, generate a draft. And it will take that messy conversational back and forth and turn it into this really nice and simple summary or FAQ format structure. And it's just this delight moment for someone who has to manually go and deal with all this stuff, right? And so we basically think that one of the many places where Gen AI can really be transformative is to help customers understand its scale where they don't have knowledge that they want to be documenting, but get out of the game of having to ask people what they want or all of these like highly manual things.
So I am the COO of Enterprise Knowledge, so I'm in operations. I'm very proud of our communities of practice, but they include a Slack thread, Confluence pages so people contribute repeatable stuff, and our portal to say where it is. You're pulling that all together, and then you're actually mining it in a way that many won't. And then I can't tell you how many times I get asked the same question, and I always say to myself, if I just had a little more time, I could write that down, and then I wouldn't be asked again. And I'm a KMer, right? So I think that way. I can't imagine at organizations that aren't KM-centric that they even have a chance to think about that. And I know once I've gotten it out there, assuming people can find it, and we're pretty good at that because that is what we do, then I don't answer that question 10 more times. And guess what? The amount of time I just captured back in my future self is massive. And the other thing is it becomes a differentiator when I talk to my clients. So Rick, I get it. This is good stuff. And if you're starting to generate those types of answers, that's a big deal. So what's next? What's the next cool thing coming out of Guru?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we just recently announced Answers, which we're super excited about because it's kind of a culmination of a couple of things we've been building in the product. And Answers is all about how to level up the discovery of knowledge experience. And the typical way we're all used to finding things when we're pulling it out of a knowledge system is we search. And so we put search phrases in, we get search results back. Those results come from all different sources. How do you know which one's right? And how do you know which one to use, right? Accuracy and redundancy, right, are like two very common patterns with traditional enterprise search. And what we're doing with Answers is saying, hey, we're going to index all of this content. We're going to organize it and structure it. We're going to understand like who are the experts, who are the humans behind this content that's being brought together, and allow customers to ask naturally worded questions and get back the answer. And it is back to our point on efficiency and end user adoption, right? That's the whole reason that we're doing this. It's like, just get me the answer faster. In some ways, that's been one of the promises of knowledge management for a long time. In my opinion, until the proliferation of the large language models that we're seeing now in market, it's been all but impractical to do this with any sort of consistency. And now we are seeing through this work that there's some really amazing, powerful things you can do. It's a beautiful thing when you have an answer that is halfway down one document and at the top of the other, and you can bring that together and put that in one cohesive answer and give it to someone. And so that's a big focus area for us over the next half of this year, is proving that experience, continuing to add more external sources. I talked about Slack and Google Drive and things like Confluence. Those will all be things customers can do, but we think there's sort of this broad list, right? There's meetings, right? Like most meetings these days in a hybrid world are recorded. What a wonderful, your point about like, hey, if you're not thinking about like writing that thing down, well, what insights could we start gathering to turn into answers and make accessible to people? And the whole idea, it's less that it's about just finding all of these answers. It's more about what do you do with these answers after you have them? And we were talking about this with Slack and shoulder tapping. And one of the really cool things that happens when you take this kind of all-in-one approach of saying like, okay, there's these traditional enterprise search patterns that I think get replaced with more of an answer experience. But oftentimes that answer does need to go somewhere because most companies are very dynamic. So most answers are going to change. And the loop that we close with Answers is, I asked you a question, I got an answer back. That answer looks good. That answer is going to be associated with you, Joe, and Guru is going to come back to you in the future and say, Joe, is this still the right answer? And prompt you to look at that and go, oh, you know what? That's actually changed now. That information's different because our product's changed or whatever it might be. Update that information, and then it goes back into the Guru system. And so we think that this kind of natural interaction of asking and answering starts to generate these like high quality answers that can just remain accurate over time through this verification system. The verification system has been like kind of a pillar thing in Guru for a long time. It's very clear. Anything you look at in Guru, you can tell, is this up to date? Is this accurate? Who verifies this? When was the last time they verified it? So it's all about building trust between you and what you're reading in Guru. We think with Answers now, it's like you can generate the answer, it can be confirmed with a human, and then it can be re-verified with a human later, right? And this is, there's this huge conversation these days around Gen AI and its ability to hallucinate and all of these weird places it can go. We agree, right? This is not a replace humans. It's a, what's the partnership between AI and the subject matter expert to help that expert scale? And that is like the thing we are so excited about. So it's this full loop powered by this very simple answer-centric experience that we really think can just get a ton of leverage. Our customers have been super excited about it because for them, they're like, yeah, you're telling me you can get the answer even faster and my agent or my HR professional or my ops person doesn't have to go digging through the search results to find it. They kind of get the light bulb right away. So we're excited about that one.
I talk a lot with our customers about the fact that not only do you have organizational silos and geographical silos, but documents in themselves are silos. And we talk about getting rid of documents. And what you're saying Answers does is it pulls the right information together and puts it in one place that's not within two documents. Your example of, I've got two parts of an answer in two different documents in two different places, for me really illustrates, and by the way, I'm probably going to reuse this in talking to some customers. I hope that's okay, but really illustrates why you want to break down your document silos and why you really want to start thinking in terms of answers, not documents.
Yes. And what's fascinating too, Gen AI and where search is going and technical architectures like embeddings allow you to rethink some of this. So whereas I would be very loudly advising against long form content because of the reasons you and I just talked about, this technology takes a bit of the pressure off that. And what's really interesting is I've like never met a customer that had a properly staffed knowledge management department. I mean, they are doing hero's work. They don't have enough time in the day to do it. There's never this feeling like, oh, we're good. It's hard, right? And so there's also like, where can AI reduce the work in the system, right? And even the things like you're calling out is like, hey, if you can actually get value out of that long form document. And sure, over time, you might actually be pulling these answers out through these conversational back and forth. That's great. But wow, that's a lot easier on that knowledge manager or someone trying to think about this stuff than them having to kind of re-architect the content. And that can become a lot of work, right? And so I'm really careful in what I'm saying here because I'm not going to ever be the person who's like, technology solves every problem. Like you have to, I think, be really thoughtful around how you apply this stuff and where large language models do well and where they aren't quite there yet. But these are like sweet spot uses for this, and it can actually do a really good job. So yeah, I think there is some really cool things on the horizon here that should make our lives a lot easier, hopefully.
Rick, I love it. This is fun. This has been a fun discussion, by the way, and I'm really impressed by what you've described and really what's coming. For all of our listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of KnowledgeCast. And Rick, I really want to thank you once again for joining us. This is neat stuff. I can tell from talking to you that you get this at a very advanced level, more than most, and you have a passion about solving problems. I know that's reflected from your team talking about you before we met and in what your product's doing and really where it's headed. And it's so important not just to get a product that does what you want today, but one that's going to grow with you. And I can tell that's the case. Learn more about Guru. And if you want to learn more about knowledge management and knowledge management systems, visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com. Thank you all.